y'all be seated. I said hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, may we all bow our heads in prayer before I start today's sermon. Heavenly Father, I ask you on this very Sunday you've given to us to use me as your vessel to deliver the word to your children, O God. I pray that no individual will leave this chapel the same way they came. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Very excited for this theme today. So, to understand Christ in you, the hope of glory, influenced by Christ, set for his glory, I want to first refer to one of our Bible readings, Colossians 1 verse 27, for some context. All right, Colossians chapter 1 verse 27 says, "To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Amen.
Amen.
So, from Colossians chapter 1 verse 24 all the way up to verse 29, Paul is telling the Colossians about how he now rejoices. Key word in that sentence is now. Now rejoicing, meaning he wasn't always rejoicing. What exactly was Paul rejoicing from? Weirdly enough, Paul was rejoicing from his suffering. He was rejoicing because he was suffering. And why was Paul suffering? Paul was suffering merely because he was a follower of Christ. He was suffering just because he believed who Jesus was. But, however, this did not serve as any surprise to Paul. Because in Matthew 5, verse 11 to 12, if you guys could please project that one for me. Matthew 5, verse 11 to 12. During Jesus' earthly ministry, he told his disciples to foresee such a thing happening. He told them, "You all will suffer for my name's sake." So when I was reading this Matthew 5, verse 11 to 12, I was trying my best. There it is, yes, if you guys want to read it. "Blessed are when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." Can you imagine literally being persecuted merely because you are a follower of Christ? So when I was reading this, I asked God, how can I deliver this word in the effective way? He said, "My daughter, apply it to modern day context. What do you see in 2023? What do you see in your generation that plagues the generation that relates to this verses up on the projector right now?" So I then thought, how do we suffer because we are followers of Christ? How do we suffer? And it might not be as intense as like people showing up to your house and throwing stones at your window. I'm talking posting a Bible verse on your Instagram story and people are like, "That girl is lame. She's a goody two shoes." I can testify on this one, Obisanfo. I can testify. Hey. We live in a generation of social media. Social media only stays relevant because of what? Trends. What is trending? Trends come and go before you can even like hop on the trend. I mean, this shoe can be trending right now. By the time you've gathered the money to buy the shoe, there's a new shoe that's trending. Hey, wait there. And yeah, some kids will. Hey. So, because social media is so set on trends and trending, there's one thing, children of God, that I've never in my 16 years of life seen trending on the internet. And you know what that is? Being a child of God. There are times that I have even went on social media platforms to share the word, to post a Bible verse. And my own colleagues at school or at church, wherever I may see them, may make comments, like jokes. I have my AirPods and my headphones in, for example. "What are you listening to? It's probably gospel. Goody two shoes." They've used my ability to glorify my God to insult me. They've used my love of God to embarrass me. And I know there's many people in this room today that can say the same for themselves. This one, I'll table this topic for a second. I want to also address something else. So God, our God that we serve, it's like our human minds will never be able to completely understand him. The wonders behind God. Oh my gosh. I just can't explain it. Before I was called to preach before you guys today, I was on TikTok and I was scrolling through my feed. And I seen this TikTok. It was a Christian TikTok, right? And it was this picture. It was a picture of two roads. One road was labeled as the Christian road, followers of Christ, their road. And then another road was labeled as the non-believers, their road. However, these two roads were completely different. The road that was labeled child of God, those who believe in Christ, it had potholes. Now, this whole road, it was bumpy, potholes. It was not paved. There were sticks on it. It was all kinds of basa. And so when you looked at the road of non-believers, freshly paved, it's like they did it yesterday. I'm telling you, oh, the non-believers' road was like Kumasi Road, oh. Nay, yo. Hey, I brought the... It was like Kumasi Road, Ampa. So, I sat there and I'm like, why? God, I'm doing all that I'm supposed to be doing. I'm following what you tell me. There's an acronym people have that the Bible is basic instructions before leaving earth. I am following your instructions, those basic instructions, I'm following it. And so, look at my road compared to somebody who isn't doing anything, their road. Then I began to read the Bible. Bible says that the suffering cannot compare to the glory that will be revealed in us. Amen.
Amen.
Suffering leads to glory. Whenever I find myself in hard times, it's very hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. We can all admit it. It's very hard. Whilst you're in it, it's very hard to be optimistic. It's very hard to see a future, a positive one at that. But I have this saying that I like to tell myself, and I want you guys all to think about this next time you're faced in a time of trouble, a time of doubt, and it goes like, there will never be a rainbow before rain comes. And why I say that is because there has to be a storm before you see the sunshine, before you see the rainbows. With that being said, our God has so much stored within us, family. He has so much. Our stories have been written, Didade. It's just a matter of being faithful and seeing through those storms. Amen. Amen. When you guys face a trial again in your life, I want you guys to rejoice. And I know that sounds crazy that, hey, say, God forbid, I get a flat tire on my way to work and I lose my job. Next time this one happens, I want you guys to be dancing in your car, to be happy. That means God probably has a higher paying job for you. God probably seen an accident ahead the road for you. God deterred you from something bad from happening. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want you guys to rejoice in your trials. I looked up the Merriam-Webster definition for trial. A trial is a test of the performance, qualities, or suitability of someone or something. I read that one more time. A test of the performance, qualities, or suitability of someone or something. So, I have a classmate. They don't believe in God, just to put it out there. They asked me this one time, why as a Christian bad things happen to me? If I follow God, why is it that, you know, maybe sometimes my grades may not be what I want them to be, or maybe sometimes things are just not going well for me. My friend asked me that. If there's really a God, why are things going bad for you? And I looked to them and I told them this definition right here. I actually argued with them. Yeah, I'm very defensive. But anyways, I told them this definition right here. And why I feel like this definition is very important is because God puts us through these tests to see whether or not we're suitable for what he's bringing onto us. If God wants to bless you with $1 million right now, he has to test that you will also use that $1 million to invest it back in his church. He has to test that those $1 million, you use it to give back to people. He has to test that you are worthy of those $1 million. So this goes back to what I was saying. To be able to activate that glory, you have to go through the trials. Hallelujah. On that same note, I wanted to tie in kind of a similar theme I discovered while I was researching this one. And it actually takes from one of my favorite Bible verses in the Bible. It's Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. If you guys could please project that for me. Galatians chapter 1, verses 10. All right, I'll just read it. So Galatians 1, verse 10 says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." So when I read this Bible verse, and the reason why I like it so much is because, again, it ties into what we do today. What we are doing, is it to glorify God? Is it to test ourselves to activate that glory? Ask yourselves today, what you are doing in your everyday routines, is it to glorify God or is it to glorify who? Man. Glorifying man, not only is it not a very smart thing to do, but it's also a very worldly thing to do. Worldly things is a very broad term, but what I'll say on it is everything we do on this earth is to secure our ticket to heaven. If we're spending the time, our undefined time, trying to glorify man, we have failed in life. That's the honest truth. We have really failed in life. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about how a lot of people seek approval from their peers, whether it be in your workforce, whether it be in school, whether it be from here. So I told you guys I was tabling that theme I mentioned earlier. Now you see how I'm going to tie it in back here. So if you are seeking to glorify man, you are plagued with this trend hopping, "I am fearful to identify myself as a child of God." You are encouraging that plague. Oh, sorry, when your friends are talking about God, you don't know the glories or the works God has done in your life. You sitting in this chapel today, it alone is a testimony. Everybody deserves to hear that testimony. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there are people out there who are lost. The people that you hang around with, whether it be people you work with in your jobs, whether it be your classmates, those who do not believe in God, I pray that you will change them, save them. The people that you love will save them. Do not be afraid to talk about your God. Do not be afraid to talk about your God. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given. Meaning that the Holy Spirit dwells in all of us. You don't have to be president of the United States. You don't have to own 5 Mercedes-Benz. You don't have to be of some high status to be able to have the Holy Spirit in you. Because my God, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, told you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of this earth. Hallelujah. Amen. meaning that all of you in this chapel have the Holy Spirit within you. I like to compare the Holy Spirit to a fire. So to be able to ignite a fire, you have to have the proper conductors, the proper components to put that fire together. So some of that could be either like firewood, fuel, etc. So what God is telling us in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is he's telling us, I have given you those conductors to ignite the fire within you. All you have to do is spark that flame. And I'm telling you, as I stand before you guys today, I see many flames in this room. I see the flames going off. I see the financial breakthroughs in people's lives because they've ignited those flames. Amen. Oh, the amen wasn't good. I'm saying your flames are sparking. You guys won't talk. Amen. So I want to take the second comma in the theme that says the hope of glory. So this section of the theme signifies the hope of our salvation. It's not just for this life, but it's for the life to come. So I'm breaking up this theme into many pieces, but you guys are going to see how it's all going to come back together. So for the life to come, I told you guys in Galatians chapter 1 verse 10 that what you do is to not to glorify man, but it's to glorify God. And that is for why? The life to come. I also mentioned the acronym Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. I want to emphasize on the basic. Our debt has been paid for us. Christ has already died and repaid for our sins. He's just asking for us to follow this manual, Keke. Basic manual, and our fate will be secured. Hallelujah. I want to see all of you guys enjoying that everlasting life. Amen. Amen. So, we are called to share hope. While most of us know this, we often struggle with doing it. Thanks to this generation, I'm going to keep going back to the social media thing because it's very important. Thanks to this generation, we have been blessed enough to have technologies that basically allow us to express ourselves, to post things for millions of people to see. It's allowed us to gain knowledge. It just allowed us to do a lot of things. However, the Bible says many times that we are called to share this hope. However, not many of us are able to share this hope. We know this. We know we're supposed to do that, but we struggle doing it. Why? Why? If Beyonce posts a picture, we'll all repost it. Kofi Kinata's new album, we're all able to stream and post it online. That one, it's not anything for us. But save those friends, save those colleagues that you walk around with and call your friends. That one, you can't. Do you really love them? Do you really love them? If you are hesitant to save them from the everlasting death that is promised to them if they do not repent. Do you really love them? Ask yourselves that. All the people you've added on Facebook, that one too, you call them your friends, but you can't deliver them. You do not have to be, I told you, you don't have to be an apostle. You do not have to be an evangelist to be able to spread the word. You don't have to be anybody special to be able to spread the word. Your small word that you deliver to somebody can do wonders for that person's life. Your small word that you deliver to somebody can change somebody's ways. Your word that you deliver to somebody can deliver somebody from their fornication, their cheating, their this one. It can deliver them. So why are we hesitant to do it? Why are we afraid to activate the glory? Why are we afraid to share the goodness of God? All of these things we do is temporary. The parties we attend, the jobs that we have, the riches we bear, it is temporary. And I'll keep emphasizing on that. Because in 2023, there is no urgency for people to be involved in the church. 2023, we do a prayer line and only 10 people are joining. In 2023, people do not want to share the word of God. Let me tell you this right now if you are confused. Instagram is temporary. Those parties are temporary. Those riches are temporary. But the word our God has bestowed upon us is everlasting.
Amen.
The word bestowed upon us is what is going to give us that everlasting life. So I pray, and I prayed this in the prayer before I started this sermon, that nobody leave this chapel the same as you went. When you go out, you will rejoice in him. You will rejoice in your trials because you know God has something better in store for you. It may not look like it right now, but you have to have faith. Faith. I always tell people, without faith in this religion that we all practice, there is nothing. I always tell people that faith is the foundation. Double F, faith foundation. Remember that. Because those roads I seen on the TikTok that I watched, the theme surrounding it was faith. It may not look good now, but you have to do what? What do we say nowadays, teenagers? Do what? Trust the process. It's trust the process we say. So I trust the process, no, not. Yeah, kind of. You guys can't apply it to the word of God. Yeah, I've applied it for you. Trust the process. It's not looking good now, but trust me. It's going to be better. Amen. So I've been talking to you guys about the everlasting life. And this next and final piece I want to talk to you guys about, I don't say it to scare you or to provoke you, but let's talk about the everlasting death. The Bible in Matthew 10, verse 28, sorry if you could project that for me, it describes hell as a place where our bodies and souls will be destroyed. Even me, Crown Pono, I'm standing here, and it's only, what, 70 degrees? Hey! And yet, imagine hell. 70 degrees is not even a fraction of what you will experience there. All of us that were here were like, hey, we can't eat me, home crown pool. Imagine hell. All right, it's been projected there. It says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the body and soul in hell. So, the first sentence says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but who cannot kill the soul. And who are those people? So, we're talking about the criminals, the people who commit murder and stuff like that. Those two, they are men. They're common, typical human beings. They kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. Do not fear these people who, I mean, it's reasonable to have some fear, but do not fear the people who want to merely hold a gun to your head and say, oh, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you. Fear the one who is capable to destroy both your soul, not only your body, both your soul and the body in hell. In heaven is everlasting life. In hell is everlasting suffering, everlasting torture, everlasting heat. So ask yourself, the next time you are faced in the situation to be able to preach the word of God and you deny it, ask yourself, is it all worth it? The 80, hopefully 100 years that God could give us, or how many years that God gives us, is very small. But to be guaranteed a place in heaven and to live eternally I am hopping on that train. I don't know about you guys, but I am hopping on the train that will give me the ticket to go to heaven. I am not following the train that will take me to hell. I am not following the train that fears to talk about my Jesus, my God. I am not hopping on the train that leads me to everlasting suffering. I don't know about you guys, but I'm hopping on that train. Hallelujah. Amen. There's this song. I wanted to relate to this very well. It's actually one of my favorite Cheese songs. Yeah, we can woo. Oh, nyami soon, soon me. Fawa, wadim bra. Na, yen fa, nyewe juma. Pray to Jesus for his Holy Spirit. Pray to him today. I see the Holy Spirit in this room. Receive it and ignite your fire. I pray that the Holy Spirit will work in your life, that your fire will never dull. There will be no water. There will be no nothing to be able to dull your fire. Yeah, bro. Hey, bro. Hey, bro. Hey, bro. Yeah, bro. Hey, bro. Hey, bro. Hey, bro. Yeah, Frawa Jienso. Jesus, listen to our prayers. Listen to your children in this chapel calling on to you to ignite their fires. Jienso, Jienso. Amen.
Amen.
So for those of you who may not understand the meaning of that song, it's asking, it's calling on for God, God's Spirit to be upon us. We're calling you. Listen to us. Come to us quickly. Let there be urgency. Let there be urgency. May you be hungry and crazy for Christ. Because guess what? Without Christ is crisis. Be crazy in Christ. Do not put him off. Have the urgency. Be hungry. Be craving Jesus Christ. Once you get what you prayed for, do not forget who gave it to you, guys. Do not forget who gave you the blessings. Always be consistent in your spiritual life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is what will guarantee you everlasting. I'm going to end off this sermon with a prayer. So may we all bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I've prayed to your people, Heavenly Father, Lord Almighty God. May your word never depart for them. May it never depart from their lives, O God. May your word be imprinted on their hearts. When people see them, may they see you. May they be a spitting reflection of you, O Lord. I pray and I declare this over their lives. May they not leave this chapel the same way they came, Heavenly Father. May you anoint them and may there be a change. May there be a financial breakthrough. May there be a spiritual turnaround in their lives today, God. May they be crazy and crave your word. Heavenly Father, in this we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.